Kind enough to join us this morning is Dr. Carl Kaufman-Haler from the University of Akron. He is the director of the Center for Intelligence and Social Studies. He's a professor of political science as well. And I invited Carl onto the show once again, and we've always appreciated his insight to track and take a look, because a lot of people, especially again, coming out of the shooting in Louisville, Kentucky, in that bank about gun control, gun laws, gun regulations. And so many times we hear about this being held up in the political arena for one reason or another. Why are in the political arena the guns and politics in the same arena? What is the tie together there, and how do you separate that if you can? And Carl, thanks for coming on to the show with us, and jump into this subject for me if you can.
Well, the United States in many ways is pretty unique in the world, where guns have become such a political issue. And definitely in most of the other advanced industrial countries, there's pretty significant gun control. I mean, it runs from significant to what probably most Americans would think of as draconian, like almost no guns allowed. So the United States is really different that way in terms of how such a hot button political issue this is. In other words, that there's debate back and forth. In most other countries, there's consensus on it. But the other thing that makes the United States unique is how lax we are, or how easy it is to get a gun in the United States. You know, and I think your listeners know what I'm talking about in terms of handguns, high-capacity assault rifle-type weapons, that kind of thing. United States is definitely unique with that. The only other countries I know where that kind of thing is seen are countries where there's a real breakdown in government control, so people get weapons basically to defend themselves.
Carl, when we look at guns and politics, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm going down your road here, but this traces all the way back to the formation, right, of militia against the British Army back in the Revolutionary War times, correct?
Yeah, so there's definitely a, I don't know what word I would use, I wouldn't want to call it a myth, but a sense in American politics that guns are necessary to defend citizens against the state. And this is something that you just don't have in other countries. People in other countries look at that attitude in the United States and are really perplexed that Americans think that they have to have weapons to defend themselves from tyranny. You know, the kind of attitude typically you hear is, well, if things are that bad, you're really in some deep water if you have to defend yourself with weapons against the state. So the idea that weapons are an inherent part of America's political rights to defend themselves from the state, that's something that is important, because that's just something that's brought up all the time in American politics. But it's also, once again, very unique. You just don't see this in other countries.
With us this morning is Dr. Carl Kaufman-Haler from the University of Akron, professor of political science and also the director of the Center for Intelligence and Security Studies. Carl, do you ever see some type of way rubbing that crystal ball when we're going to be able to separate the politics of it and into gun laws? Because it seems no matter what presidential regime comes into the White House, there's a lot of talk and then it dies down. A lot of talk and it dies down. Will we ever see a separation here?
Well, if you look at the trajectory now, I think that's just not going to happen. The trajectory's gone completely the other direction. I think right now the momentum is very much in favor of laxer gun control. And now what you see is this kind of perfunctory attempt to get some kind of gun control after a mass shooting. And it's discussed among some folks in Washington for a very short time, but everybody knows it's not going to go anywhere. So one of the things I point to is that the amount of time it gets discussed now is so short, and it's so obvious that it's not going to get off the ground, that nobody really takes it seriously. When Biden says something about gun control, you know, he's speaking to the choir. You know, he's speaking to people who support gun control, but there's a much bigger chunk of Washington that's just of the attitude that this is going to go nowhere, so let's not waste time on it.
Carl, with the lack of gun control or gun laws in this country, and you and I have touched on this subject in the past, has this perpetuated the domestic terror groups and their rise in strength?
Well, certainly there's no linkage between gun. Well, I shouldn't say that. There is a segment of the domestic terrorism spectrum that is dedicated to protecting the rights of Americans to have firearms. Now, these are obviously extremists within that movement. The vast majority of people who are dedicated to the Second Amendment are mainstream political actors in the United States. There is a grouping, though, on the fringe of that movement that is extremely convinced that the United States government is going to come by force and take away weapons. And so those people feel that they need to engage in force first to make sure that their gun rights are protected. So that grouping of folks is looking at a very different picture than I see. They're seeing there's more movement by the government to take away guns, whereas I think most people who look at this issue think there's less movement by the federal government to take away guns. But the one thing that is really important, the linkage between domestic terrorism and guns, is that in the United States, it's easier to pull off mass casualty attacks than other countries because, in particular, high-capacity firearms are available. So, you know, these assault-type weapons, those are just not able to be bought in other countries. And if you see in some other countries when people try to pull off these mass casualty attacks, they'll try to make these homemade versions of this. I've seen this in a couple attacks in Germany, and these homemade versions just don't work. So, you know, if those guys had been able to get a hold of, say, an AR-15 or an AK-47, the situation would have been much grimmer than it was. So that's the difference in the United States. The capacity to use firearms in mass casualty attacks is different than the rest of the advanced industrialized world. You know, we see it in other countries where there's a breakdown in law and order and where there's weapons floating around, and then you'll see people who will pick up an AK-47 and go commit an attack in the name of ISIS or Al-Qaeda or that kind of thing. But in the United States, yeah, we have a lot of these weapons, which make it easier to kill people.
Carl, you've done studies through countries all over the world, Middle East, Europe, and beyond. How does the rest of the world look at our situation here with violence? Because in this country, we have a tendency to look at these other, quote, rogue countries as being violent and dangerous. But when you look at the world and the capacity of owned guns, firearms, I believe I read a study that said the United States citizens own about 64% of the world's firearms, which is extremely high compared to the rest of the world. So with that being said, Carl, what do you hear from your correspondents and talk around the world on how they look at our country?
Well, most of the rest of the world looks at the United States in kind of shock in terms of the number of mass shootings we have. And I think they're also, and this is based on interactions with other folks around the world and reading media around the world, they're shocked how numb Americans have become to it, that this, it's another shooting. You know, that's just the way it is in this country. Because these things just don't happen, at least to the degree that they do in the United States, in other countries. And the other thing I think that's a major thing that Americans should take into account is a lot of people are afraid to come to the United States now because they hear about these shootings and they think that their safety is not guaranteed when they come to the U.S. This is a problem for tourism in some cities. This is a problem just with the image of the United States. I guess the last thing I'd bring up is that this has been used as a propaganda piece by our adversaries. They bring up how much killing there is in the United States with firearms. And they say, how can the United States lecture other countries about, you know, human rights and things like that when Americans aren't safe? And isn't safety a basic human right? So this is something that has ripple effects around the world. Frankly, it's damaging to our image. And as I said earlier, I'm not really optimistic that this problem's going to get solved anytime soon. And so the United States will continue to take lumps overseas for a pretty bad record of public security.